Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Oh, Haley, I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to hear.
I'm doing better than some of our patients.
Well, that's true. Our patients do come to us in pretty poor condition. Oh. And, you know, you being a naturopath of 30 years, I would imagine know how to take care of a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later.
We've had a couple of cases in the last few weeks of people with parasites. You had a conversation, we were talking about it earlier, about a former employee who's worried about parasites, and you asked that we do a show on parasites.
Right, because
I think that's a great idea.
I don't know much about it myself, and when I have my friends or my family come to me with all of these questions, I just sit here and think, I need to talk to Dr. Looper about that.
Yeah, you know, parasites are really freaky and scary. They just are.
They're so microscopic, and they're everywhere. If you think about how many people are on this planet versus how many parasites there are in the world, it becomes overwhelming.
And millions.
And then, you know, you get into this
billions
frame of mind that's
of
overwhelming. So I'm sure we all have parasites within us and around us. And I think that our bodies handle them differently. So, what do you think?
Yeah, let me speak to the creepiness of it to begin with, because a lot of people listening to this are just creeped out by the idea. And let me tell a little story that happened recently. I was traveling down California and visiting my daughter and her husband and my son and his wife. And we were planning on doing Sunday brunch, and I got a call from my daughter in tears, sobbing, in fact, about how she had fleas in her house.
Oh.
They got a new dog, and it's a cute little dog. It's a dachshund's about eight months right now, super sweet. And she discovered fleas on the dog and was basically tainted because now she had fleas, and she had never had fleas before, and the fleas are in her house, and there's this just absolute disaster. She just had a meltdown. Her life ended. You know, everything can be divided between the happy times before and the misery and going out from here on out, right?
Right.
And I assured her, I said, you know, fleas are a pretty common thing, particularly in California, because it's lovely outside, it's warm, the fleas jump on and jump off of animals. And then, you know, you go on this walk every day, some flea is going to jump on your little dog, you're going to bring it home, and it's going to breed, and there's that. It's not the end of the world. There's some things you need to do. There's some treatment you need to do, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's like finding out that your clutch is going bad.
Uh-huh.
It's not the disaster you think. You could fix it.
Yeah, you can easily mitigate it. There's treatments. You can shave the dog.
Yeah, that's without the dog shaving. You're not helping, by the way.
No.
I think people have to shave their heads. Anyway, so the story is similar to that. If it turns out that you get some sort of parasite, the shock and horror that you're tainted now, right? But it turns out it's common, super common. In fact, as I go through the list of parasites that we check for, nearly everyone is normal flora, which is a weird thing to think about.
Right.
But most of the so-called parasites we have, if they're in low doses, I mean, a low amount, not doses, low amount, and they're just, you know, hanging out in us, and they're not causing any trouble, and they're not doing anything bad, they're not creating any symptoms.
They're promoting the beneficial bacteria within our gut.
Not so much. Mostly they're just taking advantage of an opportunity.
Okay.
That's what they do.
Okay.
And if there's nothing for them to eat, then they don't really do that well. And either they just come and go, or there's a crumb or two for them to live on, and then they hang out and, you know, live on the occasional crumb.
So what are the most common ways that we're exposed to these parasites?
Yeah, living on the planet Earth is just the most common existing? Way. Yeah, so, okay, let me answer the question. It's going to sound crazy. It turns out eating fruits and vegetables is one of the more common ways that people get these things.
But, Dr. Looper, that's all you tell us, is eat right, exercise, and sleep.
Like I said, living on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
It turns out that living things have these living things on them, and then we eat the living things, and we get the living things. And so we get exposed to it. The question isn't really so much about exposure, because everybody wants to talk about exposure. How did I get it? You just got it. It comes around.
Deal with it.
The better question is, why did it stay? And why did it grow? Because if it stayed, there's clearly something for it to eat. And if it's growing, clearly there's a lot for it to eat.
So what is it like to eat?
Mostly carbs.
Sugar.
Yeah, same as us. They like sugar.
Okay.
Mostly. Okay. Not all of them, but mostly, generally speaking, it turns out to be carbohydrates is what they like.
And so do the bad bacteria kind of help produce or help grow these parasites?
No.
Okay.
No. Think about it. So you're eating food, uh-huh. and you go, ooh, I like these. I'm going to have another one.
Uh-huh.
Right? Whatever it is. And then, so it goes down through you, and you do your best to digest it, but you can't get the job done.
Sure.
There's some leftovers.
Okay.
They get down to your lower intestine. Now you have food in your lower intestine. And so whatever's there, it gets a boon. Now, if you happen to have protozoans living in you, oh, look, they're happy. There's stuff for them to eat. So the protozoans tend to grow. The inappropriate bacteria, the ones that don't live on fiber, mm-hmm. they live on other stuff. Those are the bad bacteria. They tend to grow as well. So the rising tide raises all boats. So all the bad guys all go up, and they compete with each other, and they do various things, and they disrupt the environment, and they make toxins, and they do a bunch of other kind of stuff that screws you up. They tend to perpetuate whatever the problem is.
Okay.
They tend to actively remake the environment that they live in to make it better for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this thing that happens where it screws us up, our immune system gets screwed up, and there's a bunch of stuff that happens. But Okay, so what we should talk about is, I mean, this is useful to talk about, but we've skipped a whole bunch of stuff that really is important to start the conversation with, which is, why would you even consider that you had parasites to begin with? Because what happens for us is people come in the door.
Sure.
And then they sit across from me and we chat. And then I go, sounds like you have parasites.
Well, and what I think back to is being a kid and the concept of getting worms and my mom, you know, being kind of, there were certain instances where having an itchy butt made me think, like, oh, maybe, or made my mom think, oh, maybe it's worms. And knowing other little kids that did experience it and get worms.
Yeah, worms are super common.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as the flea thing.
Yeah.
Worms is the same story as fleas.
Yep.
You live on the planet Earth, you're going to get exposed to worms. It's just how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so, particularly kids are susceptible to it. Adults, too. But kids are
always putting their hands in their mouth and, like, other objects in their mouth, and they're just dirty.
Yes.
Dirty creatures.
Yes, yes they are.
Yep.
And God bless them.
Of course, yeah, because we build immunity from those experiences.
Yes, we do. We do. And pinworms is the most common one. So in my practice, I've seen pinworms quite a bit. I mean, it shows up with fair regularity. So let's talk about the symptoms. Why would somebody even consider that maybe they got some kind of parasite? And it turns out that, let me read the list. So diarrhea is a common symptom of parasites,
mm-hmm.
or dysbiosis. And it's because your body's just trying to get rid of it. But
right.
constipation shows up as well. I had a patient recently show up with constipation. That was her symptom. It's not so logical why you get constipation, but you do. Cramps, stomach cramps show up a lot. Period problems, your menses, you get PMS or... menstrual cramps, things like that. There's
irregularity.
Reasons for that. Yeah, yeah. There's all that is mixed in with it. Getting tired. Headaches is another one. Rashes are pretty common. Anxiety shows up a lot. In fact, it shows up so much that doctors more and more are thinking gut bacteria as being a cause for
anxiety. Right, and we had a conversation a few weeks ago about the gut-brain axis, and that makes sense.
Yeah. So for me, I'm one of those doctors. Somebody comes in with anxiety, first thing I think of is that they got some kind of gut infection that's driving this thing. Irritable bowel syndrome is another one that shows up a lot. Irritable bowel is a lot to do with inappropriate bacteria growing in people. And then joint pain. So anyways.
Because of the inflammatory response it creates?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the immune system will start fighting against these infections.
Right.
And then generating inflammatory chemicals mm-hmm. that aid in the eradication uh-huh. of the organisms. And in doing so, this collateral fire, so to speak, the body takes a hit generally because of the inflammatory stuff coming in. And it usually will show up as tiredness and achiness, so joint pain.
Well,
worse with motion, worse with exercise. Exercise tends to make it worse.
All of these symptoms just sound like causes of everyday living.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah, like there's a lot of overlay. And so I would wonder what, in your mind, would hear all of these symptoms being associated with everything else you see, and then what marks, parasites.
Yeah, welcome to my world. Yeah, this is what I do, try to sort all this stuff out. And, it's subtle, but what we end up doing, the answer to the question is we run tests. First, I have to think of it,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty easy with this list to consider that somebody's got some kind of digestive thing.
Uh-huh.
So how often do we run a digestive test? I mean,
every new patient that we see.
Nearly. Not every single new patient. Sometimes they don't run it. But if they have any of the things on this list, where they have gut problems or headache problems or immune problems or whatever, stuff like that, then we're going to run this thing because chances are it's making them sick. And the sickness is weakening them so that the organisms can better live in them. Because remember, I told you, organisms are trying to alter the environment that they live in by making it better for them and making it worse for us. And so there's this thing that goes on back and forth between them, and it results in, misery by and large.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, what I think I want to do is I'm kind of just briefly go over the common organisms here that affect people just so that if somebody is running a test and one of these names come up, they go, oh, yeah, I heard Dr. Lipper say something about that. So a couple weeks ago, I had somebody show up with blastocystis hominis. Let me talk about it. Blastocystis is an amoeba,
uh-huh.
and it's very common in people. I won't say most people have it, but a lot of people have it. And it's common enough that there is a debate going on whether it even causes a problem. Because if you take just a swath of the general population and you test them, a goodly percentage of them are going to come up with blastocystis.
And it's in our food, it's in our environment.
And most of those people don't have any symptoms. There's no complaints. There's no problem. They don't really know that they have it. And they wouldn't know that they have it because it's really not causing any problem.
Well, everybody's body handles infection differently. And everybody's immune system handles infection differently, so.
Yeah, so imagine you go back to flea thing. You have a few fleas in your house. They occasionally make a bite. You get occasional itch, but it's not a problem. It doesn't overgrow your house. You can still live there. And you're not even sure if you have fleas because they cause so little problem. That's kind of a weak example because fleas do show up. You get itchy.
Fleas are a problem, so maybe, right.
But you get that where I'm trying to go with this is low amount.
Yes.
Low problem.
Yes.
And so low, in fact, you may not even know you even have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that in mind, is this a normal flora? And the answer is no. Is it common? Yes. I'm taking a stand on this one. I do not think blastocystis hominis is normal. It's not like, oh, it's fine. Everybody has it. We're just going to leave it there. It's part of the normal flora. No, it isn't. It is a problem.
Yeah,
is this a parasite?
Then it overgrows, and then it throws off your metabolism eventually.
Yeah, if you don't have much of it, you're lucky, but mm-hmm. you shouldn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it'll come and go, but if there's an environment that's conducive to it, I mean, using too big of words, if there's something for it to eat.
Yes, if you have any gut dysregulation.
It'll stay.
Yeah.
It'll stay. Now, mostly you think, well, these organisms are eating us. Nah, not so much. they're not really eating the lining of our digestive system. What they're eating is the leftovers that come through our digestive system. There's certainly organisms that can eat us. Entamoeba histolytica, for example, is a relatively common amoeba that can actually eat us. The histolytica word means it destroys tissues. And so it can actually chew up the inside of our gut and live on that.
And
that
do those present more severe symptoms, like internal bleeding?
Okay. Yeah, thousands of people die every year of this infection.
Okay.
So it is potentially deadly. Now, many, many more people do not die of the infection because their immune system fights it off. And if they're lucky, they go to the doctor, and the doctor will give them a treatment and get rid of this stuff. Now, I got lots more to talk about, but let me just interrupt myself a little bit here and talk about the treatment. The standard treatment for most of these things, for protozoans, because that's what we're talking about, all the examples we've given are protozoans, is Flagyl, metronidazole. It's a prescription medication, and it works really well. It eradicates the organisms ever so nicely.
Does that destroy your flora the process?
No, not really. It can have some nasty side effects. Every once in a while, somebody gets allergic to it, and you can get deadly side effects. That's rare, though. I wouldn't hesitate taking it. It's really quite effective, and really gets rid of the bugs nicely. And the side effects are relatively low for most people. You know, anybody's going to react to anything at some point, but it's not particularly dangerous as
low
drugs go.
Risk, greater reward.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the problem. It does great to get rid of the bugs now, and it does not get rid of the infections in the future. And if you got an environment that's conducive to the growth of these things, the chance of them coming back is huge. It's, you know, 90%, 85%, somewhere around there. And so it's not particularly effective, really, when you get down to it. The other thing that's important to recognize is that nearly every one of these protozoans, if the environment is not conducive to them, they'll just cyst up. That is, they go into this kind of a like rest period where they hide. They put a little coating around themselves. They bury into the cells, the lining of the digestive system, and they just hang out for weeks.
For more food to go undigested and
for the environment to change.
Yeah.
So right now it's nasty, and they know, ooh, we gotta hide, and so that's what they do.
Uh huh.
And then when it becomes unnasty, then they pop back out again, and you get reinfected. All the time, common as dirt. This is what they do.
Yeah.
This is their strategy.
Sure.
Okay. So it happens all the time. So metronidazole is not particularly effective at getting rid of them. This is an important thing to know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Flagyl isn't something that you should use. You get riddled with an infection, you just got to wipe it out. It's nice. It's a big help. But what you're going to need to do is think about, and particularly work with a doctor who can help you think about, why you got this to begin with, what's going on with you that either weakened you, that made you susceptible to this infection, or that your digestive system is feeding it. It's created an environment in your digestive system that's conducive to these organisms. Because once you get them, unless you change the environment, they're just going to come back. And they're good at coming back. I mean, it's not like they may come back. No, they're almost certain to come back. And the doctor's aware of this, and a lot of times they'll do metronidazole, and then they'll do other drugs to kill the cysts. And they're like, ooh, now we got rid of the cysts. Now we're going to make sure they don't come back, except for they come back anyways, because they're in the environment. They'll come back because there's something for them to eat. There's a warm, lovely place for these organisms to live, and that's why they come, because they like it. You following me?
Yes.
That's the key. You got to think about why you got sick, and then change whatever that thing is. So okay. Now we're back to eat right and exercise.
Right, but then we have patients who change their habits, change their environments, change their guts, and then they continuously test for these parasites.
Mostly what actually I see is they don't continually test for the parasites. We put them on Purge the World and leave them on low dose Purge the World. That's it. It eradicates them. So we've talked about
Purge. I'm thinking of one patient in particular, the one that we had talked about this morning, and her markers came back.
Her immune system screwed up. And that's in our efforts to fix her, we've got her better, but she ain't gonna be better all the way. So she's got a susceptibility that's like, you know, baked in. Mm-hmm. And so if anything comes around, she's going to get it. Mm. That's her problem.
Okay.
So let's generally speaking, that's a tough case. Generally speaking, people, if you change the environment, change how they eat, change how they sleep, change what's going on in their lives, they change. It's not, there's not that much resistance to it. And she's actually way better than she used to be. She's changed a lot.
She is, yes.
I mean, really, she got her life back. She got her brain back, and she's on vacation right now, but so there's that.
Yeah.
She's not that sick.
Right.
Okay. So, but for most folks, the thing to do is to be able to change the environment, then that way you can eradicate the organism. Now, what do you mean change the environment? Now, some of it's common sense, which is don't eat, you know, processed food. Don't eat sweets and cakes and pastries and stuff like that. Those tend to promote it. Though a lot of it has to do with the amount of stress that you have. If stress levels are really high, what it does is it weakens your digestive system. We've talked about this before. Let me just remind you.
Yeah, because all of your blood is working on processing all of those stress hormones and producing those stress hormones. So your adrenals are getting burnt out and your liver is getting burnt out and your digestive system doesn't have any more blood to work on digestive.
Yeah, so in order for the digestive system to work, and you're exactly right, it needs to have blood. Because mm-hmm. digestive enzymes are made out of blood, and the lining is, the materials come via the blood to build your lining of your digestive system. And you people will replace the entire lining of their digestive system every 3 days. Those cells are new. They're new and they're bright and they're shiny and they do a lot of work. They have a very high metabolic rate and they burn out. And so our body just uses a lot of energy and just makes a new batch of them every day. So there's no cell lining your digestive system that's older than about 3 days. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's lots of energy goes into this thing. Now, if there's a decrease in blood flow to your digestive system, then that whole process slows down and you become susceptible to infection. And the thing that's going to drive that very nicely is worry. So if you're a worrier, particularly if you got something to worry about, like real worry, then you get a decrease in blood flow to your digestive system, and you get a susceptibility to these infections. So people who live in worry tend to have these infections more than people who don't. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't worry. You know, some people have good insufficient reasons to worry. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I've never been able to fix anybody yet by telling them not to worry. Because all that does is give them something else to worry about.
Sure.
Now they're worried about them being
about
worried.
Worrying, right.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah.
So what we do instead is we will do some kind of something that will stimulate their digestive system and bring some of the blood back in spite of the fact that they're worried.
So we'll add bitters.
Yeah, bitters. We're back to bitters again. So if we can do bitters. Now, bitters are hard because they taste horrible.
But you get used to them.
You get used to them. That's true. I know. And most people, they tend to like them. That's about 90% of people, boy, put on bitters.
Yeah, I've been doing my herbs for about 6 months now, and I'm used to it. And I can taste the sweetness that comes out of it. We add one compound, glyceriza, which is licorice root.
Yeah.
And that somehow overlays everything else underneath that might not taste that great.
You say that because you're used to it. Normal people will not agree with you.
Well, and normal people, a lot of other people do have bitters. They drink alcohol.
That's got bitter in it. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So they're used to that bite in some form.
Yep. That's true.
Might not have the same benefits. You might not get the buzz.
No, actually, you do. Really, let's give an example, kind of a goofy example, mm-hmm. an old-fashioned.
Yeah.
It's made with bitters.
Uh-huh.
And it was originally a way to get bitters in. It was bitters that was the thing that people were doing it for. They knew that bitters were helpful. And this was back in the early 1800s.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, more
and so you put a little whiskey in with your bitters, and it, you know, softened the blow.
Sure.
And that was the first cocktail.
Right.
And it was for your health. It was a health drink. And then they figured out.
For the health.
Yeah, they figured out if you put a little simple syrup in it, it turns out it tastes a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some maraschino cherries.
That's right. And some orange slices. Yeah. And now you got a classic old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, it's pretty dang sweet. Is it really that medicinal? Not so much anymore.
No, but it tastes good. Not so much.
So I don't recommend old-fashions as a way to stay healthy.
I have not seen a summary sheet come out of this clinic.
I want you to do a cocktail, an old-fashioned cocktail every day.
Three old-fashions a day.
No, we haven't done that. But it moves you in the right direction because the bitters stimulate your digestive system, and they cause more blood to flow to the digestive system. And the reason is real straightforward. It's because bitters are bitter. And bitterness is an indication that there's some sort of toxin from the plant that it's using to kill off bugs or something like that.
Yeah, that plant has developed this defensive mechanism.
Exactly. And so our bodies have to break down that defensive mechanism.
So I just want to highlight what this is because not everybody listening would know what Purge the Whirl is, but people listening who have come to this clinic for years, they know what it is. And this is a compound of about 7 different herbs that we've used regularly that treats a plethora of gut dysfunction.
Yeah, all these infections, protozoans, Purge is very effective against them. In fact, I like it better than doing the Flagyl. I get better results with it, and it's more long-lasting results. Flagyl, you don't want to leave people on it for a long time, like chronically. It's not a good thing, because eventually you're going to get reactions to it.
Or if you do low get dose, resistance to it?
Yeah, there's that as well. Or you do low-dose bitters. Purge has got all these different ingredients in it, so it's really hard
for... Yeah, and the dosage we recommend is just like a teaspoon.
Yeah, we do a teaspoon, even though if somebody's going to be on it long-term, the dose is actually a third of a teaspoon, maybe even less than that. And we're just trying to elicit a reaction from their system. We're not trying to actually take enough to kill anything. We're just trying to stimulate their digestive system to work better, and so that there's less leftovers that get down into the lower intestine. In the long run, that's probably the best thing for you to do. Just make sure that there are no leftovers. And there's lots of ways to do that. Bitters is one way. Eat less. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Eat food that's digestible.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, avoid things that are greasy, things that are fried, things that are processed, things that got preservatives in them, stuff like that. And
exercise.
Now we're back to eat right and exercise. Yeah. So the same
exercise,
story we always go back to.
Promote blood flow, promote digestion.
And it really works. It
probiotics?
To some extent. Sometimes, that's actually a good question. Sometimes what we want to do is put some kind of organism that is going to fight the other organisms and then clear it out of the system that way, too. It's a kind of an additional aid to eradicating these organisms. I'll give you an example. Saccharomyces boulardii. It's a kind of a yeast. It's been used for, I don't know, 70, 80 years treating diarrhea mostly. But it turns out that every time they look at it and they look at its ability to fight off these protozoans, that is particularly effective. In fact, I remember seeing research, they were looking at, I think it was Entamoeba histolytica, one of the more common protozoans, and they compared the Saccharomyces head-to-head with Flagyl, the normal stuff that they used to treat it, and they came out the same. They're equally effective. So the nice thing about the Saccharomyces boulardii is there's no side effects, and it doesn't make you sick. And you could take it every day forever if you wanted. If somebody was particularly weak and we wanted to strengthen them and make sure that they didn't get sick, because we cleared it and then it came back, we cleared it and it came back. If that happened once, it'd be enough for me to put them on it. If it happened twice, for sure, I'd put them on regular Saccharomyces boulardii. And it's not hard to get a hold of. You usually pick it up at the health food store, maybe even the grocery store. It's a pretty common thing. It's been around for a long time and super safe. The other thing that's worth considering is changing the taste of the stuff that comes down the pipe. And if you put enough herbs in your food, then you're going to make an environment that is not amenable to the protozoans. I'll give you a super easy, straightforward example. which is garlic.
Yeah.
If you like garlic and you eat a lot of garlic,
sure.
Chances are the organisms in you are not going to prosper.
Okay.
And you, either you'll eradicate them or you'll keep the numbers so low that they don't cause a problem. Remember, we started this conversation by saying, are these really a problem? There's a debate in medicine, which is, no, they're not. They're normal flora. People get them. Yeah. People occasionally get sick from it, but way more people have these organisms and never get sick.
But mm-hmm. just because everybody has it doesn't mean it's not an issue.
Well, if you don't get any symptoms from it, here's the thing. I don't think it's normal. I don't think it's good. What I want to do is get rid of it. I'll mm-hmm. just tell you straight. If anybody shows up with it, it goes on the list of stuff we're going to get rid of. And so we'll put them on purge to get rid of it. And then I'll have a conversation with them like we're doing right now and say, I need you to eat more herbs. Do you like herbs? And like, what herbs are we talking about? Really, almost anything. So rosemary and thyme and oregano and basil and turmeric and garlic for sure.
So along with purge the world, will you often recommend the anti-inflammatory?
Maybe. If they have a lot of inflammation, I'll put them on anti-inflammatory. Anti-inflammatory's got licorice root in it, which is helpful.
The turmeric is what?
It's a main ingredient in it, and it's also got reishi mushroom in it. And those are excellent for regulating the immune system. They work really, really well for that. If their immune system is poorly regulated, I'd definitely put them on it. But I wouldn't do it as a matter of course. I wouldn't do it, like, for everybody, because the game I always play is, what's the least amount of stuff I could put people on? And I'm always thinking for the lowest dose and the easiest, simplest protocol. The easier it is, the better it is. The less is more when it comes to treatment.
What about water in this instance?
That's going to relate to the next show. My little clock in my head just went off like we're running out of time.
We are there.
Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done enough of these shows to know when it goes.
Yeah. That just rang for
you. Let's do another show right now. We'll talk about traveler's diarrhea, which is how this shows up for a lot of people. You go to Mexico or you go to India or whatever, and then you end up picking up these protozoans while you're there. And so we can talk about how not to let that happen and talk more about the treatment.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.